Very good morning, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5 to verse 7, we continue our study on this book of Ephesians. Inheritance is something that the family members have. When the one who owns certain things, especially if he is the head of the house, when he dies, he leaves behind an inheritance for the children to share and to divide. We understand what an inheritance is on this earth. But the inheritance that the Bible speaks of is not of this earth. The meaning has a little twist to it. It is not to wait until God the Father dies. He doesn't die. He lives forever. But it is an inheritance that the Bible wants us to realize and understand that it is a gift, because an inheritance is something that you cannot buy, you cannot work for it. It is yours because of relationship. That's what inheritance is. It is because you are part of the family of the one who has passed away, and therefore if he has included you in the list, in the will, and therefore you have a part of his inheritance. But in the case of the inheritance mentioned in verse 5. It is an inheritance where God says, I have prepared for my children. You can buy it. It is yours because you are God's children. It is given by God. And the inheritance would include a glorified body, a body that is eternal, a body that is spiritual, it's glorious, it's powerful, a body that never grows tired. The Bible calls it a body made up of flesh and bones. A body that is able to eat and drink, because Jesus Christ possessed that body after his resurrection, and he ate and drank with the disciples. And this is one aspect of the inheritance. The other would be heaven itself. Eternity awaits you, where you have in heaven all the glory and all the joy and all the angelic beings praising the Lord, and you will be there. You will be part of this throne and throng where God's people, God's children, will be there forever and ever, praising the Lord, rejoicing, our hearts filled with gratitude and thanksgiving because of the great work of salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ has wrought in our hearts. And we will never stop praising him because of the life that is so wonderful has now become a reality which we now believe by faith. That is a very, very brief glimpse of the inheritance that awaits all of God's children. That is why in the Bible, the Apostle Paul shared that he has this strong desire to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Because as long as he is in this mortal flesh, he is away from God and he wants to be with God. He longed for it, but then he says also in the same breath, but then when he looks around him, he saw the needs of the churches. And he says, as long as I remain on this earth in this mortal flesh, my life is very simple. For me to live right now is to live for Christ. So that when I die, I know that it is no loss, it is gain. Because I will be going home. And what awaits me is a glorified body in the presence of God himself, the glorious, wonderful creator of heaven and earth, whom we are given the honor and the privilege to call him Abba, Father. And that had been his single motivation as he served the Lord from the day he was born again on the road to Damascus. As he studied the Bible more and more, he considered the things of the world, all the accolades of the world, more and more as dung, so that he can pursue after the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, his Lord, as his sojourn on this earth. This was his experience, this was his life, as he lived on this earth, and this was what he wants to share with us. However, we know we live in a world of the last days, a world where Christianity has taken on many, many faces, and there is only one face of Christianity that is true. All the other faces of Christianity are false. And therefore, you and I cannot afford to be deluded, because the Bible tells us that there are certain men who will not have any inheritance in heaven. God will not allow them to enter heaven. They will not be given the glorified body. You do not want to belong to that list. You do not want to be part of that group. Jesus made it clear that you and I are not children of God because you say you are his children. If inheritance can be based upon what I claim, based upon relationship that I claim, then the world will be in confusion. Who is the richest man on earth? Is it Bill Gates this year or last year? They keep changing. Who is the highest, most worthy first billionaire on earth? The one with the most money. If he dies, those who are in the will that he has written, and if you are part of the will and if you are part of his family, you will get something from him if he decides to leave something for you as his son, as his daughter. Imagine if I were to say I am his son, and therefore because I say so, therefore he has no choice but to include me in his inheritance. You're going to find the whole world will want to say I am his son, I am his daughter. You know that doesn't work. You know that is not how inheritance is given. You cannot declare somebody your father because you say you are. That is also true in the spiritual realm. You cannot say you are a son of God. You are a child of God because you say you are one. And therefore God has no choice but to leave you an inheritance. That is not the law of inheritance, because it is based entirely upon relationship, and that is not the law of relationship. God the Father can adopt us. Bill Gates can adopt someone and sign all the legal documents and make that person who was not his family and now it becomes his son by adoption. He can do it. He can execute. You cannot adopt yourself. And we know that God has adopted us through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior with all your heart, you have been adopted into God's family, and that inheritance that God promised you is yours, waiting for you when you leave this world. It is there. It is secured. But you have to make sure of your salvation. You are not a Christian because you are not a Roman Catholic. You are not a Christian because you are not a charismatic. We know that Roman Catholics and charismatics, they are not believers. If their doctrine is based upon what is written in their documents, if their doctrine of salvation is based upon what their pastors have preached, that if you become a Christian, you will be healthy and wealthy. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ according to scriptures. That is another gospel. And anyone who preaches another gospel, God warns that person, let that person be a curse. Because you are leading thousands, if not millions, into hell by making them think they are going to heaven. And that's why the Apostle Paul has given to us time and time again, verses after verses, all the clearest evidence that you could ever think of to help us appreciate and understand what it means to be truly born again. Because what is worse than a non-believer who has never been given the gospel before is an unbeliever who thinks he's a believer because he has embraced a false gospel. A gospel that is very enticing to the carnal flesh of man. And that kind of gospel is being preached over and over again in many churches today. And that's why God gives us this three verses, verse 5, 6, and verse 7, to teach us, to tell us, that not all who say the name of Jesus Christ will be given an inheritance. So who are the ones who will not be given any inheritance? You look at the three transgressions mentioned in verse 5. They are the same in verse 3. They are also mentioned as part and parcel of the life of the old man in chapter 4. It's mentioned repeatedly, at least three times. Why did God do that? Because we are prone to these three transgressions even as believers.
For this ye know, that no whoremonger, the same word, is for the word fornication in verse 3. It's the same root word, where we get the word pornography. Sexual transgressions, all forms of sexual transgressions, including fornication, two human beings living together as adult, not married, fornication, that is a transgression. That's a whoremonger. Or a man who is married, a woman who is married, and have a sexual relationship with somebody, not his spouse or her spouse. That is adultery. That is also a whoremonger. Homosexuality, whoremongers. Or they may call us homophobic. That's not homophobic. That is telling people the truth. Just because you call it homophobic, it is not homophobic. You're telling the person the truth about, if you hold on to this kind of lifestyle, you will have no inheritance in the kingdom of heaven. That's what the Bible says. That is clearly taught in the scriptures, both in the Old and the New Testament. What is worse is to give a person a false sense of security because you made them feel good. You want them to feel good today. But you're going to send them to hell for eternity just because you want them to make feel good today for 20 years, 30 years of their life, telling them, it's fine, it's okay, God accepts you. And we are pastors who themselves are homosexuals. We are pastors who themselves are adulterers. And they will tell their congregation, it's okay, just sin and then just repent and that's fine. That is not fine. If you have this kind of lackadaisical attitude toward, I just sin, I just repent and that's fine. There is no such doctrine in the Bible. You just sin and just repent. Sinning is more than just breaking the law of man. It is a serious transgression against God. And you cannot just simply brush it off. Oh, I need to just repent. Just say sorry and that's it. God knows that you are mocking Him when you indulge in this kind of false repentance. There is no grieving. There is no sorrow of heart. You want to know what is a broken and a contrite heart after transgression? You read Psalm 51. David sinned against God by committing adultery with Bathsheba. He took another man's wife. And then God sent Nathan the prophet to rebuke him. And when David realized his transgression, he repented with all his heart and the depths of his soul, pleading with God for forgiveness, for mercy. And after that, you notice he never sinned that sin again. He learned his lesson. He did not go back to that sin again. Please understand, do not treat sin lightly, because God knows and you have no inheritance. God made that very clear. No whoremonger. You know, he says, you know very well within your own soul, your own heart will convict you. Whoremonger. Pornography in the website. You go and indulge in it. Nobody knows. Nobody needs to know except God knows. And if God knows, that's all that matters. You can hide from mother and father. You can hide from your children. But you can never hide from the all-seeing, all-knowing God. And God made it clear. We live in a world where sexual sin is so shamelessly committed by people today. No shame, including so-called Christians. No shame. Whoremongers, any form of sexual transgression, whether it is in the mind or in action. Because Jesus says, if you lust after a woman in your heart, you committed adultery. And you keep on lusting, check your salvation, because God says, you have no inheritance. And God did not stop with whoremongering. He continues, unclean person, same word in verse 3, all uncleanness. In verse 3, he talks about the sin. In this particular verse, he talks about the people who commit these sins. That's why he used the word whoremonger. Unclean person. In verse 3, all uncleanness. Everything that is of a moral and spiritual nature that is unclean. God says, if you indulge in this, all forms of uncleanness, all forms of immorality, lying, cheating, all these are part and parcel of uncleanness. God says you have no inheritance. You have to be a clean person. A clean person is a person who follows the scripture in his mind, in his heart, in his desires. That's a clean person. He lives a life where even 5 cents he doesn't want to cheat. Not even 5 cents. He will give it back. It's not mine. I will not want it. Anything that is not mine, I will not accept. He will not do anything that will stumble anyone. He will not do anything that will cause any other person who observes his life of Christ and cause the person to have a low view of Christ or a shameful perspective of Christ, he will not transgress. He is prepared to be a slave. He is prepared to give up his own personal preferences and rights for the sake of Jesus Christ. He will not do anything that will stumble or cause anyone whose faith that will not be built up, that will not be profitable. Any form of uncleanness, he will stay away. Is that your life? Because if you want to be unclean, where you cut corners and you cheat and you are lazy and you are a man pleaser, in front of people you present a front of hard-working demeanor, very diligent, very obedient, very well-mannered. But behind the person's back, all kinds of terrible things will come out of your mouth. All kinds of false motive, all kinds of hypocrisy will come out of your life and your action. Many of such cases in the army. Because the army is such a rigid organization, you have officers and you have all the people on top. And when you want to please the people on top in front of them, you behave like a very well-behaved soldier. The moment they are gone, when you are among your fellow soldiers, so the true colors will come out, the laziness, the filthy language, all the terrible behavior, all will surface. They don't care. They drink, they get drunk, they gamble, they smoke, they do all kinds of terrible things. But in front of people that they want to get something out of them, they behave very, very nicely. It's also common in the working world. You know better than me. This kind of hypocrisy, uncleanness, sadly, they are also found in believers. That's the problem. Found in believers or professing believers. Professing believers who call themselves Christians, but your business behavior, your characteristic, your conduct out there in the world. You think God does not know? You think God is blind? You think God is deaf? God knows exactly who you are even as you come Sunday after Sunday, lifting up the hymn book and sing all kinds of wonderful hymns with all kinds of wonderful lyrics. But your life, your heart, your desires, if it is characterized by any form of uncleanness, God says you have no inheritance. God says, in the kingdom of Christ and of God, nothing. You do not belong to God. You are not God's child. That's why you will not have any inheritance, because God's children will not live this kind of life. And the third transgression, which perhaps is the most subtle, covetousness. You can't see covetousness. We talked about that last week. Covetousness is a desire, wrong desires. And why is it the worst of all? Because not only because it is invisible, the Bible called this idolater. A covetous person is an idolater because he has money, for example, as his God. And that is idolatry. This is also mentioned in Colossians 3:5. Similar transgression, similar list. Colossians 3:5 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Same thing. Covetousness is the sin of idolatry. If you are a covetous person, you are an idol worshipper. It may not be the idols that you find in homes. It is not made of gold or silver or metal. It could be a person. Your desire for your children to be number one in class, your children's education is everything to you. That is an idolatry because it is a desire that is not of God. Because your son, your daughter is more important to you than God. There are many families with young children. Before they have children, they were devoted to God. They know who God was. Past tense. But when the children come, when the child comes, the whole life is turned upside down where the child becomes their God. They will do everything around the child's life. The child's life becomes most important. No longer their relationship with Christ, no longer Christ. It is the child. That's an idolatry. Your desire for your child's education, how they can make a name for themselves in the world, that is idolatry. No spiritual input, no spiritual significance, no spiritual concern. Blank. And your own spiritual life, you're motivated by promotion and money, that is idolatry. When the charismatic pastors tell their members, believe in Jesus Christ, you'll be healthy and wealthy. Do you know what that means? They have just instructed their members and given them the biblical license to be covetous. Do you realize that? And so that when they are covetous, when they say that God makes you healthy and wealthy after you become a Christian on this earth right now, that means go after money all you want with all your heart, and your conscience will never, never convict you. Seared it. Because you have been told, this is what God wants for you. And so climb the ladder, get as much money as you can from this world. They have just given you the license to be covetous. That's why the doctrine of the charismatics are so deadly and dangerous. It's not a trivial matter. Covetous men, the Bible says, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven because you are an idolater. Money is your God. You're motivated by money. You go to work. What consumes you? What motivates you? That extra $1 million, more money? That is an idolater. Do you realize that? Just because you are a member of this church means nothing to God if you are not truly born again in Christ. Coming to church Sunday after Sunday, even preaching from the pulpit, you think this is not for me, it is for me, for everyone. You think by preaching the word of God you go to heaven? You must be kidding. You can memorize the whole Bible. You can understand the Bible from cover to cover. And if you have not accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, and you are a covetous person, and that covetousness is so deadly and dangerous because you think that nobody sees, nobody knows, because it's a desire of the heart for things that are not of God. That is covetousness. And that's why of the three, this is the most deadly and dangerous, because of its invisibility and because God calls it an idolatry. And if you don't recognize this, and you think that it is okay because everybody around you is doing it, then everybody around you will have no inheritance just like you. Plain and simple. God is not mincing his words. Who is an idolater? They have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, you can have inheritance in another kingdom called kingdom of Satan. That's on earth. He will give all the things that you want on this earth. You bow down to what he wants you to bow down. You bow down to his money. You bow down to all the accolades and all the seductions that he will throw at you. He will give you. You're going to have it on this earth. But when you die, rest assured, you're going to join him in the lake of fire. This is the kingdom of Christ and of God. And in order to be part of this, you have to be part of the kingdom. You have to be part of the family. Remember, inheritance is not by money. It's by relationship. That means you have to be a child of God. You have to truly accept the Christ as Lord and as Savior. That means you are a person who have taken off the old garment, the old man. And these three sins mentioned here belong to the garment of the old man. If you have them on still, you cannot have on the garment of the new man. You cannot wear both the old man and the new man garments together. You're going to take off the old before you can put on the new. You cannot have both. God is not a mincing words, because God is more concerned with our eternal destination, our salvation, that you and I are more concerned for our own. That's why he gave us all these verses with very strong, clear, crisp, and perhaps to you, very direct teaching. No one who have all these transgressions in his life will have any inheritance, not even the slightest bit, in the kingdom of Christ and of God, because the kingdom belongs to Christ, the kingdom belongs to God, and if you want it, you must now possess the attribute and the characteristic of Christ and of God. That's why you are called sons and daughters of God now. Not when you are glorified. Right now, that means you should know, you can know, you must know. Ask yourself, what is motivating you when you go to work? You are prepared to do anything for your children's education, but you're not prepared to do anything for Christ and for God. That means idolatry. You reverse it. You cannot do that for your own soul's sake and for your children's sake, because you are not helping your children if you are doing that, because they are not going to see Christ in you. You're going to see money. They're going to see hypocrisy. Mom and dad sing all these hymns on Sunday, but then at home, the emphasis in my life is completely materialistic and carnal. You are teaching your children to live two lives. Put on the life of a Christian on Sunday, but put on the life of the world from Monday to Saturday. You are teaching them that kind of hypocrisy that is so paramount and common in our world today. Don't hurt your children in that manner. Follow God's teaching. Those who love father, mother, sons and daughters, even his own wife and his own life more than me, is not worthy to be my disciple. Jesus meant it for our good. Because he is the one living and true God. No matter how much you love them, they cannot be your God. And if you love them more than Christ, then you have no inheritance in the kingdom of heaven. Please understand this truth. God gave us these revelations is to help us, is not to hurt us. Because you are made in his image. And therefore you worship only the one living and true God. Your children, they are not gods. Only God is your creator. They didn't create you, did they? You created them, right? You gave birth to them. They didn't give birth to you. God gave us life. He is the one living and true God. So worship him. Bow down to him. Follow his scriptures. It is never, never wrong. And it will always be for our good. That's why covetousness, he calls it idolatry. Anyone who is a covetous man, he is an idolater. So what motivates you when you go to work? Answer before God honestly. What motivates you when you wake up? It could be yourself, indulging in self-pity. I want this, I want that, I want my Christian witness and my Christian life my way. If it is not my way, forget it, God. That is idolatry, yourself. Yourself. I am more important than God. I will do what is right in my own eyes. That's idolatry, myself. And there are some people who are like that. They want to be a Christian on their own terms. They do not want to submit themselves to the sovereignty of God and to God's will for their life. They keep on murmuring and complaining to no end. You are a Christian. God loves you more than you could ever imagine. God sent Jesus Christ to die for us when we were his enemies. And if you have truly accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, he is now your Heavenly Father. And you think he's a derelict Heavenly Father? That he will give you things that will hurt you? Whatever, Lord, that he has given to us on this earth and in this life, there is a supreme purpose that he knows and that is best for us. Whatever the Lord might be, learn to submit yourself to the Lord. It's easy to believe in Christ, to have faith in Christ when the sun is always shining, right? It's so easy. Anybody can do that. But when your life is turned upside down, can you still continue to trust in the Lord, continue to have the peace in your heart, continue to rejoice and give thanks to God regardless? That is where your true faith will be measured. Is that not true? That's what Satan said to God when God said to, have you tested, tried my servant Job? Oh, of course he will worship you. You gave him everything. You gave him health. You gave him wealth. Of course he will worship you. And God said, all right. Take away his wealth. Took away his wealth, became the bankrupt, a poverty, a bankrupt poor man. Then took away his health, because after he took away his wealth, he still praised the Lord. Took away his health, he continued to praise, but he did not curse God. Even though his wife cursed God and died, what's the point of believing in this God who has now taken us, taken away our children, taken away our health, taken away your health, taken away your wealth? Why do you want to still believe in him? What did Job say? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. The last part, most important. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can you say those words from your heart? The Lord gave me health. The Lord has every right to take away my health. The Lord's name must always be blessed in my life, regardless whether I'm in health or in wealth. It does not matter. No health, no wealth, I will still bless the name of the Lord because he is my Heavenly Father. No matter what. Can you do that? Because then you will know that you are indeed a child of God. Regardless. But if you commit these three transgressions and you treat them lightly, the desires of your heart, that is not the desire that is biblical, that is of God. Covetousness means desires. That's it. Nothing wrong with desires, but it has to be the right object. pursue after the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. That's a good desire, to study the Bible more and more. Desire to be in heaven. Right desire. Desire to honor and glorify God in all the things that you do with your life. That's a good desire. But if your desire is of the world, money, power, position, name, promotion, more houses, more luxury, no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Thank God He gave us this truth before we die. If God were to reveal this truth to us after we die, it's all over. There is no time for us to fix it, to change it, to make sure of our salvation. That's why this will be told to us after we die. You know that. You know that. You know how God will judge us, how God will evaluate each and every one of us. Verse 5 is clear. Verse 6 is also very clear. That's how God will evaluate each and every human being. Doesn't matter who you are, what you are, what language, what century. This is God's yardstick to evaluate you and me. And thank God He gave it to us right now so that you who are still alive can do something about it. Please do something about it. Please make sure of your heart and your soul and your desire for your own soul's sake and for Jesus' sake and for your loved ones' sake who are aware of your life, who are impacted by your life. Because if they see hypocrisy, you are doing the greatest disservice to them, because Christ is not a hypocrite. He is not a hypocrite. He's a wonderful Savior. Don't present Him as an ugly hypocrite. He is not. Don't present Him as a lover of money. He was not a lover of money. He made sure that the world understood that He was not a lover of money, because when they turned the Father's house, the temple, into a den of thieves, He went to the money changer. He didn't collect and put into His pocket. He threw them onto the ground. He overturned the table to make sure that they understood, I did not take one single cent. I just overturned the table and everything went to the floor. He made sure the money was not His God. So don't call yourself a Christian and make money your God, because Christ is not money. That's how important it is. Christ is not the promotion of the world. Don't long for them. Don't be motivated by them. Don't work hard for these things. Work hard by all means, but for the glory of God, and be a godly, holy witness according to scriptures. That's what it means. But there were many voices who tell you otherwise. There are many churches who tell you otherwise. You can pick and choose what church you want. We have members who come, or friends who have come to our church before. They like this part of our church, they like that part of our church, but they don't like that our church practices total abstinence. Everyone, anyone who teach in this church in any capacity, you have to sign a statement of faith. No alcohol, no drinking, period. If you sign and you break and you sin, may God have mercy on your soul. Don't play the fool with your witness. Why do we make you sign? Because you are a teacher. The students will look up to you, whether in a Bible study, in a contact group, or in Sunday school. You are a teacher. And therefore, teachers who sin, teach sin. Plain and simple. You can talk all you want. It's your life that will stumble or build up the life of your students. That's why teachers who sin, teach sin. Isn't that true? That's why we have this standard. And so they come, they like this part, they like that part, but they don't want to give up their drinking. They tried and attend our BBK, they just simply cannot accept. And so they have a friend, their neighbor, come to our church. Our church is fine. After every Bible study, everybody drinks. The pastor drinks, the elder drinks, everybody drinks. Come. Come, it's okay. And so he left our church, he goes. There are a lot of such. They will find that our teaching is completely too strong, too harsh, too hard, too strict. The strictness is not from us. What do you think this world is? This world is sinful. This world is wicked. This world is still owned by the prince of darkness. Who do you think Jesus Christ is? He is the Son of God, all holy, all righteous, all God. You want to talk about strictness? Our church is not strict enough. You know that? How can you and I ever be strict enough? The more you study the Bible, the more you realize that we continue to fall short of His glory. You know how great and glorious God is? He is holy. You and I don't even appreciate and understand what holiness is. There's no way you and I can fully comprehend what holiness is. You realize that? Not strict enough. You think playing church, calling yourself Christian, is fun and games? It is a battlefield. Sinners continue to die in sin, and they end up in hell. Do you know that? Hell is a place where no one can escape. And then after hell, they will end up in the lake of fire for all eternity. There is intense pain upon pain upon pain that is so excruciating without any second, not even one tiny brief moment of relief, but continuous perpetual pain forever and ever and ever and ever. That's what happened to sinners who die in their sin. Your children, your friends, your colleagues, that's where they will end up if you do not show them who Jesus Christ is. Why do you think Satan will continue to deceive? That's what you find in verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, empty words. What kind of vain words? Words that are not Bible-based, words that are not based upon Scripture, such as the Bible has mistakes. Small problem. Don't treat it as a big problem. They still are called Christians because they still believe in the gospel. They still believe in this. But the Bible has mistakes. Where are the mistakes? I don't know, but their Bible has mistakes. Oh, don't worry. It's only numbers and names of people and places and so on. Oh, they will not affect your salvation. That is vain words. That is the lie of the devil. These are the words of Christ. If the Bible has mistakes, that means the words of Christ has mistakes. And when a person's words has mistakes, what does that mean? The person ceases to be perfect. True? When your writing has mistakes, what does that reflect? That you are a perfect person? Of course not. Your writing has mistakes. You make mistakes. Whether it is in grammar, facts, or whatever form, a mistake is a mistake. Isn't that true? So therefore, the moment your words are mistakes, that means you will cease to be perfect. That's a vain doctrine. You be very mindful and careful. Don't be so foolish to be lured away in these last days. Your soul, your children's soul, your family's soul is at stake. You want to spend eternity in hell as a family together or in heaven? Your choice. Or you want to go to heaven yourself and the children in hell? Your choice. By your witness, in that sense, is your choice. Your responsibility. Your witness is important. Let people see Christ in you regardless of the state that you are in. Do you know that the brighter Christ will shine, the more difficult your circumstance is? It's so easy to go to the hospital and talk to somebody who is dying of cancer. I can tell them. But it's a totally different story if I am also dying of cancer and I tell the person about Christ. Isn't that true? He cannot turn around and say, you don't know what I'm going through. You are not suffering from cancer. You can tell me about the love of God all you want, but I don't appreciate it. You don't know what I'm going through. But if I'm also dying of cancer, then I tell you. He can't use that excuse on me. Don't be bitter when your external circumstances are not the way that you want it to be. You commit yourself to the Lord. You trust Him. You don't listen to all the vain words and be deceived by all kinds of notions that are out there. You trust in God's word and God's sovereignty and God's love for you. Don't ever doubt it. Don't question it. And don't doubt it and question it by the way that you live. Don't answer on a piece of paper, yes, I don't doubt. Prove it by a life of joy and gladness and peace in your soul. To let the world know that I am a child of God. I am a Christian. Whether I'm blind or whether I'm seeing, whether I'm walking or running or whether I'm lame, it does not matter. I'm a child of God. And that's all that matters. And that gives me the greatest joy in my soul and in my heart that I am a child of God. And let me share with you what Jesus Christ can do for you in your life as well, just as what He has done in my life. Not a life of bitterness and complaint. Who wants to believe in a Christ? Because after that, I also become like you, bitter and complaining all the time. I don't want to believe in that Christ. At least if I love money, I'm happy with my money. And then you say you're a Christian, you give up money and you embrace Christ and look at your life, always soon boy face, all wrinkled up and never have any joy, no smile. I don't want to believe in Christ and I look like you. Is Jesus Christ like that? You mean the believing in Jesus will also make me so sour, so unhappy? What kind of salvation have you received that will cause you to be so unhappy with yourself? Jesus says when you believe in Jesus Christ with all your heart, you will have an abundant life, a life that is so rich and so full that the world cannot give, the world cannot understand. But I don't see that in your life, Jesus says, if you keep on murmuring and complaining about every second of your life. So truly, have you really accepted Christ? Do you really, really belong to that group that will have an inheritance waiting for them? Because if you do, then you should not be so down. You should have everything to rejoice in. Why? Because of Christ. Because Jesus Christ is truly my Lord and my Savior. And I am a child of God, and He saved me by His grace and His mercy. And I have so much to live for Jesus' sake. That's what it means. And so don't let anyone deceive you. For because of these things, what things? Whoremongering, uncleanness, covetousness, cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You see this? God first identified them for us once again, and then warns us of the deception. So please, anyone who tells you otherwise, that you can be a Christian and a homosexual, that's deception. That you can have a love for money. Jesus Christ died for you so that you can be healthy and wealthy. That's deception. They belong to the children of disobedience. And that's why the wrath of God will surely come upon them, and that will include the lake of fire. Please realize and understand our life here on earth is so precious, because right now is the only time where you can make a difference. Your decision can make a difference whether you will end up in heaven or in hell. Whether you have an inheritance in heaven or no inheritance in heaven, it is determined right now on this earth. Right now, as long as you are still breathing. Please realize how important it is. The time that you have on this earth to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ is precious. And every minute that you waste, it will belong to the bad witness, a false witness, a tainted witness. It's either a God-honoring witness or a God-shameful witness. Shame God. Which one is your witness? Truly, what is your witness? There is no such thing as neutrality. You're only neutral when you are inside the coffin. Nobody will chastise you for any witness when you are in the coffin, because it's done. As long as you are breathing, whether you are running the marathon race or whether you are not running the marathon race, whether you are bedridden, your witness remains. It's either God-honoring or Satan-honoring, God-pleasing or God-displeasing. Your choice. If you're truly born again, you can do a whole lot of damage to the name of Christ, because you carry the name of Christ everywhere you go when you call yourself a Christian. Or you could do the greatest blessing, greatest edification, build up the faith when you present Jesus Christ as a person who is loving, gracious, merciful, patient, long-suffering. Your choice. I can't live for you. I can only live for myself in my own life, in my own body. I can't live for you. But we want the best for all of you. That's what the Apostle Paul wants, the best for all of us. And that's why he warns us. Don't be deceived by vain words, empty words that will teach you otherwise, that these three sins are okay. They are not okay. Any form of uncleanness, any form of sin, get rid of it. Any form of vices, get rid of it. Smoking, drinking, gambling, get rid of them. Get rid of them. Don't toy with them and argue and say that they are okay. They are not okay. Please, they are not okay. The longer you say it's okay, the longer you're going to let it remain in your life. The beginning point of getting rid of sin is when you first recognize it as sin. And as long as you don't recognize it as sin, you will not get rid of it. You're addicted to it. Even if you are right, it is not a sin. As long as it is controlling you, you're addicted to it, it has become sin. Something that may be lawful, even if you are right to say that gambling, smoking, drinking is lawful, which I don't believe so. It's not taught in the scripture. But let's say if you are right, but you can't get rid of it, you are addicted to it. And therefore, that makes it still a sin. Still a sin. And it will continue to grip you and strangle you, and your witness for Christ will always be a contradiction. Talk big, but life empty, vain. Don't do that, please. You have a wonderful life in Christ, regardless of the external circumstances. Jesus is not lying to us when he says it is an abundant, rich life in Christ. Not based upon material things, not based upon the accolades of man, what man can say, what man will praise me. All these things are immaterial. Used to matter so much, but not anymore, because I'm a Christian, a child of God. And as long as I'm a child of God, that's all that matters. That's all that matters.
Beware. These individuals will have no inheritance in the kingdom of heaven. And God is not lying. God is telling us the truth. You look at these three sins. And don't be deceived. If anybody tells you otherwise, God warns us. They are vain words. It will destroy you. It will lead you astray. And rob you of your soul. And finally, verse 7, the protection. The protection from these sins. Look at verse 7. Be not ye therefore. That means stop being. This is a prohibition to stop an action in progress. That means some Christians were doing this. Be ye therefore, stop being partakers with them. That means some Christians were committing these sins. Sad to say. Some professing Christians in the church in Ephesus were committing this sin. And so the protection is, stop it. That's the protection. Because that's the word partakers. Don't participate in this sin anymore. Stay away from such people that may cause you to have this transgression. Stay away from this transgression and stay away from these people. What are the associations in your life that will cause you to transgress? Stay away from them. That's what it means. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. Don't have any participation. Don't share your time. Don't share your life with them. If you find these people in your office, just be in the office and have them as your friends in terms of work life. But not friends in terms of social life, because their social life has been causing you to stumble and fall and commit more and more transgressions. Stay away from them. Same when you go to school. Let your school friends be your school friends that you can talk about your school subjects, that will help you be a testimony to them. But in terms of outside of school life, social life, if they are not a good influence, stay away from them, especially when they influence you for the worse. Choose the right kind of associates, the people that you want to associate with in your life, that can help you build up your life. Or else, you will become a partaker, you will participate in their transgression. There are people, when they open their mouth, they just talk about material things. And I'm not just talking about you guys, I'm talking about pastors as well. There's a pastor that I know of, every time he opens his mouth, I'm not talking about sometimes, really talking about every time. Every time I meet him, every time I see him, all he talks about is money. I'm not kidding. He talks about your clothes. What brand is it? He talks about your pen. He looks at the kind of pen that you have. He talks about your shoes. He talks about your belt. He talks about everything that you put on. And he knows who are in his congregation who are millionaires. And he will know how to butter them up. He will know how to praise them because he wants something from them. And that's money. Pastors. Another one keeps on talking about property. Every time you talk to the person, how much is your house worth? How much is my house worth? Are you going to change out? Are you going to upgrade? Pastors talking about this over and over and over and over again. What occupies his mind? Pastors. You think this is only a struggle for members in the congregation? All of us face the same struggles. We are all facing the same struggle with these three transgressions that are very deadly and subtle because of its commonality and also because of its subtleness. The world already accepts whoremongering as an acceptable way of life. And anyone who goes against it, they will call you names, homophobic. Fornication is already embraced and accepted, no more shame. You know that because Hollywood has done a wonderful job in making fornication a beautiful thing. Two actors and actresses that you adore, they live together, they cohabit together, they commit sin on television, on the movies, whatever it is. Nobody blink an eyelid. It's well accepted. And so you accept it in your own life too. Uncleanness, so common, telling lies, white lies. A little bit of lie here and there, it's fine. Plagiarism, stealing people's words. All these are unclean acts. It's cheating, it's stealing. Covetousness, a desire. Nobody knows. What is my desire? You can't see my desire. God sees. And God says, your desire is not for things scriptural. You are an idolater. And God says, you have no inheritance. And you stay away from these transgressions and you stay away from these transgressors. That's your protection to keep yourself away. Because, sad to say, believers still commit this sin. It's how you respond and react to them that will make a world of difference. That's why Paul says, stop. Stop. Verse 7. Stop becoming partakers with them.
Don't join them and commit these transgressions. Stay away from them. Don't go to places. Don't hang around people. Don't let these people be your friends. Please, they will hurt you, they will ruin you if they cause you to commit the same transgressions as they are committing. They crack dirty jokes, you laugh with them. That's uncleanness. They have all kinds of filthy worldly desires. You have them too. They tell you, and they think that you think that it is good now. All these desires of the world. Money, money, money. That's the desires of the world. Everything is about money. Are you also like that? You think that way? Without money, the world stops turning. Is that your belief? It should be without God, my world stops turning. It's not without money. God made it very clear. These men will have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. But if you are a Christian, be assured, this is your inheritance. Glorification in heaven for all eternity with God calling you, saying to you, welcome home, my good and faithful servant. This is our heart's desire for each and every one of you, that God will one day say to all of us without exception, welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Let us live a holy life on this earth. Let us encourage one another to live a holy life on this earth. And let us stay away from these three sins that God says will characterize someone who will have no inheritance in God's kingdom. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Let none of us, O Lord, deceive Thee this morning. Help us to realize where we stand before Thee. We know that coming to church will not make us a Christian. We know that even preaching the Word of God from the pulpit will not make us Christians. Elders, pastors, none of these titles will make us Christians. Help me, O Lord, to make sure of my salvation, that these three sins that are found in this passage this morning will no longer characterize my life, and grant me the strength to get rid of them in my life. For I am weak, O Lord, but Thou art strong. Help me in my desires. Help me in my uncleanness. Help me, O Lord, in my struggle against fornication. Teach me to know Thy way and to walk the straight and narrow path that You have set for every child of God. And may we do so with joy and with gladness and with the abundant life that Jesus Christ promised all who have truly accepted Him as Lord and as Savior. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. Hear us, O Lord, for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.